Can you hear me up on the shelf?
Yes.
Good. A warm welcome to everyone this morning to worship at Paignton Baptist Church. Good to see each one of you. You're all special to the Lord. And if you're listening to this service using your computer or tablet at home, then you are equally welcome. And I want you to feel that you're joined in with us as we worship the Lord together. It's a special day for someone in the church this morning. He's hiding at the back. But Stephen Taylor French has a big birthday this weekend, and he has also retired this weekend. So I think we should sing happy birthday. I don't think there's a tune for happy retirement, but well, have happy birthday anyway.
Happy birthday
to you. Some opening words from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in a day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Let's start right away by blessing the Lord with this lovely song by Matt Redman. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul. Stand if you're able, but if you're not able, then please remain seated.
See you.
Please be seated. Let's pray together. God, our Creator, Father, and Friend, we give thanks for the wonderful gift of life, with all its joys and responsibilities, its experiences and opportunities. We praise you for the measure of good health that's enabled us to be here, for our daily food, for the shelter and care of our homes, and the love and loyalty of our friends. We thank you for teaching and giving us an example in our Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness and salvation we've received through him, for his presence with us, and for the service into which he has called us. Help us to express our thanks this morning, Lord, not only in our praises and prayers, but also as we go forward through the lives that we lead. Lord, we know that we often let you down, and we want to say how sorry we are, merciful God. We confess to you that we have sinned. We confess the sins that nobody knows and the sins that everybody knows. The sins that are a burden to us and the sins that we've forgotten. We confess our sins as a church too, because we haven't always loved one another as Christ loved us. We haven't always given ourselves in love and service for the world as Christ gave himself for us. Father, forgive us. Send the Holy Spirit to us that he may give us power to live as by your mercy you have called us to live, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Two more songs of worship now. If anybody wants to grab an instrument, you know where they are here at the front, please do so. We're going to begin with Praise is Rising, and then we'll follow that up with Jesus, We Enthrone You. So let's stand again, if you are able, to praise the Lord.
Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the
Take up our morning offering now, if we may. This is for those of you who choose to give through the offering bag. And if you're a visitor this morning, it's your choice whether you want to contribute or not. But if we could have the offering now, please. Lord, you are so good to us. Day after day you shower us with your blessings, and you're so generous to us. We bring you these gifts as a token of our love for you, and we pray that through them other people may come to know of your wonderful love and about Jesus, who wants to be their Saviour, Lord. This we ask in his precious name. Amen. Well, now is the time for Angela and Jean to take Connie and any other children that there might be, or anyone who feels like a child, and hang upstairs with them, to go to their own lessons. And we'll see you later, Connie. Now, Jesse's going to bring us our Bible reading, which is the whole of Zechariah chapter 8. You'll find it in the church Bibles on page 953. I don't know why it says verses 33 to 40.
I made a mistake.
A typo, is it? Yeah, it's the whole of chapter 8. You may find some of the words in the church Bible slightly different, because Josie has a brand new NIV and they've changed the wording just a little bit.
The word of the Lord Almighty came to me. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I am very jealous for Zion. I am burning with jealousy for her. This is what the Lord says. I will return to Zion and dwell in Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the Faithful City, and the mountain of the Lord Almighty will be called the Holy Mountain. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Once again, men and women of ripe old age will sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each of them with a cane in hand because of their age. The city streets will be filled with boys and girls playing there. This is what the Lord Almighty says. It may seem marvelous to the remnant, these people at that time, but will it seem marvelous to me, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will save my people from the countries of the east and the west. I will bring them back to live in Jerusalem. They will be my people, and I will be faithful and righteous to them as their God. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Now hear these words. Let your hands be strong, so that the temple may be built. This is also what the prophets said, who were present when the foundation was laid for the house of the Lord Almighty. Before that time, there were no wages for people, or hire for animals. No one could go about their business safely because of their enemies. Since I had turned everyone against their neighbor, but now I will deal with the remnant of this people as I did in the past, declares the Lord Almighty. The seed will grow well, the vine will yield its fruit, the ground will produce its crops, and the heavens will drop their dew. I will give all these things as an inheritance to the remnant of these people, just as you, Judah, and Israel have been a curse among the nations. So I will save you, and you will be a blessing. Do not be afraid, but let your hands be strong. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Just as I had determined to bring disaster on you and save and showed no pity when your ancestors angered me, says the Lord Almighty. So now I have been determined to do good again to Jerusalem and Judah. Do not be afraid. These are the things you are to do. Speak the truth to each other, and render true and sound judgment in your courts. Do not plot evil against others, and do not love to swear falsely. I hate all this, declares the Lord. The word of the Lord Almighty came to me. This is what the Lord Almighty says. The fasts of the 4th, 5th, 7th, and 10th months will become joyful and glad. And will become joyful and glad occasions and happy festivals for Judah. Therefore, love truth and peace. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Many peoples and the inhabitants of many cities will yet come, and the inhabitants of the city will go to another and say, let us go at once to entreat the Lord and seek the Lord Almighty. I myself am going, and many peoples and powerful nations will come to Jerusalem to seek the Lord Almighty and to entreat him. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In these days, 10 people from all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe and say, let us go with you, because we have heard that God is with you. Thanks be to God for his word.
The old hay fever's got hold of me. Before we look into God's word, let's sing another song. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. We'll stand if we can. Whether you've been a Christian believer for many years or are a fairly new Christian, I imagine that you can remember particular moments during a church service when a preacher has said something very striking which has changed your mind or given you fresh understanding or even, with the help of the Holy Spirit, has been pivotal in bringing you to faith. If you were present at the beginning of this series of sermons, looking into the prophetic words of Zechariah, you will be unlikely to forget that first Sunday when the prophet himself apparently came to join us to explain how he had received 8 visions from God, each one being interpreted to him by an angel. Of course, it turned out that David Reddaway was playing the part of Zechariah, wearing beautiful period robes made for him by our sartorial expert, Richard Bunker, over there. Things like that stick in your minds, don't they? At the beginning of this series, I read through the book of Zechariah and thought to myself, this is challenging. And probably the other preachers thought the same when they were asked to join in. But I found it remarkable how each one has been able to draw things out of the text which have helped us. Some real nuggets from the words of the prophet which are relevant to us today. And I believe that God has graciously given me one such nugget to share with you this morning. So I have titled this sermon, Take Hold of the Hem. Take Hold of the Hem. To briefly recap, let me remind you that Zechariah began his preaching during the second year of the reign of King Darius in 520 BC. And he continued his prophetic ministry for 50 years until 470 BC. Zechariah preached to the Jewish community which had returned to the land of promise after the exile in Babylon, which had gone on for 70 years. This had been one of the lowest points in Israel's history. But now a new day was dawning. Of course, most of the people in the community then had been born in exile. The book of Zechariah expands on the theme of hope in God's unfailing purpose. And hopes were high at the time, because not only had Cyrus, the new Persian king, allowed the exiles to return to their homeland, he had subsidized their journey and their plans for revitalization. An overview of what Josie read for us this morning is something like this. God says he will return to Zion and dwell in Jerusalem. Eventually, old people and young people will dwell there, with plenty of children playing safely in the streets. This may sound marvelous and difficult for the remnant to believe, but God says he will do it. He will save his people, and he says he will be faithful and righteous to them as their God, and they will be his people. The land will again be productive and God will care for them. So people expected God to bless them with restoration and revival. Through Zechariah, God had told them, as we read, their fasting over the awful things which had happened to them in the past should now become instead festivals of praise. The physical rebuilding of the city, starting with the temple, was their first priority. And it was a crucial component in the development of God's unfailing purpose of redemption in preparing the way for the coming Messiah. At first, progress was good. The people were excited, full of hope about the future, and they really got stuck into the work. But after a while, a lot of opposition arose and the work gradually ceased and apathy and carelessness replaced their enthusiasm. Now, as we often see in prophecy, Zechariah, inspired by God, spoke into their present situation, but also pointed out what was going to happen well into the future. Last week, when David Burroughs brought us his thoughts on chapter 7 of Zechariah, we learned about the way of living which God required of his people. And that's been reflected in this morning's reading as well. And it still applies to you and me today. But God also revealed to Zechariah, over the period we've been considering during these past weeks, an overview of his redemptive plan from the immediate context to the far distant future. As we looked each week at one of those visions, the second vision we considered, if you remember, was about a man with a measuring line who attempts to measure the city limits of Jerusalem. But that man is told to put his ruler away. The population of the new Jerusalem was going to be so immense that no walls could possibly contain it. Heaven's population would consist of those from every people and language group on the face of the earth. Over the centuries, the people of Israel found it very hard to grasp how God would include the Gentiles in his redemptive plans. I wonder if you remember the account in Matthew's Gospel, which is titled The Faith of the Centurion, Matthew 8, verses 5 onwards. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Jesus said, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And I say to this one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was astonished. And he said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." And he went on to tell the centurion, "Go, it will be done just as you believed it would." Or we could think about what Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 2 of his letter. I've shortened it, but basically he said, "Remember that you who are Gentiles by birth," that's us, "and called the uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, remember at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Now you are fellow citizens of Christ, of Israel, members of God's household." And towards the end of the book of Revelation, chapter 21, we read this: I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. All these things, and many others, were foretold by Zechariah in his prophecy. Now I come to the crux of my message this morning. It's found in the very last verse of chapter 8. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In those days, 10 men from all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe and say, "Let's go with you, because we have heard that God is with you." This is my nugget for this morning. Bearing in mind that when Zechariah spoke those words, this was not a time when the Jewish, it wasn't a time when the Jewish nation was held in high esteem by the surrounding nations. Jerusalem had laid in ruins for decades. The people were now struggling to rebuild the city and its temple. They were in a sorry state. Jerusalem had no drawing power for the world, which was largely antagonistic towards its people. And yet, the Lord proclaimed that it would become like a magnet, drawing people in. How would that be possible? In verses 3 to 6 of today's reading of Zechariah, we read this. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will return to Zion and dwell in Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the City of Truth, and the mountain of the Lord will be called the Holy Mountain. Once again, men and women of ripe old age will sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with a cane in his hand because of his age. The city streets will be filled with boys and girls playing there. This is what the Lord Almighty says. It may seem marvellous to the remnant of people at that time, will it seem marvellous to me? Declares the Lord Almighty. The 10 men in verse 23 represent the different nations around and about the Jews. They are people who have lost direction in their lives, lost souls without hope, without purpose or a future. Sinners whose lives are dead in trespasses and misery. So they need the Jew. They grab hold of him by the hem of the robe and beg to go with him to the temple. They hunger to hear the gospel of salvation, which has been given to the Jews, so that their sins may be forgiven, their lives liberated from slavery and despair, and they may live as people of hope. The Christian author Richard Orsman has written this. What the lost world ultimately needs is to know the great Jew, the Son of David, Jesus Christ. This Jew was born in Bethlehem, fulfilled all the demands of God's law, died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. He was raised from the dead into glory, ascended to the right hand of God, poured out his Spirit at Pentecost and now rules the world for the gathering, defending and preserving of his church. This Jew, and he alone, is the only hope and refuge for the world. During the last two millennia, people from every tribe, tongue and nation have been taking hold of him in true faith. They have been drawn to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've been liberated from sin and death through his blood. They will stand with a great multitude of people from every nation on Zion, on Zion, as it is promised in the book of Revelation. And what was said about the Jews in the Old Testament still applies to every Christian today. It is vitally important that the lost and restless can still identify the one person who will lead them to safety. So this is not a time for you and I to keep a low profile. The people among whom we live today, our neighbours, our co-workers, our families, and everyone else we meet, need to know that we are Christians who have a hope within us, and they need to know that they can take hold of us and say, I know that you have God in your life. Take me along so that I may know him too. In a world which is largely under the power of sin and death, there's something of great beauty here. It is God's gift of Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for sinners, and Jesus is given to us so we can share him with other people. Can there be anything more beautiful than allowing someone to take hold of our garment and to bring them here into the very presence of God? I tell you, it's happening. It is happening here, right and now. Praise be to God. Amen. Sorry about the voice. We're going to sing another song. They shall come from the east. They shall come from the west. This, if you remember, some of you, used to be a great favourite of John Sanderson's, one of our former ministers. So Andrew should be well able to play it with his eyes closed.
Sit down in the kingdom of God.
I had intended that at this point we would have a prayer of intercession and that we would pray for people to come to faith, especially family and friends of ours, but also to pray for our community, to pray that the baptistry will be opened again very soon, to extend our prayers to the world, and then to pray for the sick, the troubled, and the bereaved. However, just before I walked through the door this morning, Sue Worthington brought to me and the deacons some bad news, which I will share with you now. Didn't want to share it earlier in the service. It concerns our dear friend Hilary Ray, who, if you don't know her, is one of our deacons. She's presently lying in hospital in Salisbury in an induced coma, having had, one imagines, a heart attack while she was away from home yesterday. And Sue, as you can imagine, is extremely upset because she got the phone call from her son, Nick. So I'm going to ask you if you, one or two of you, will pray for Hilary at this time. I would want to pray that they're able to bring her out of this coma and that she will recover. But that can't be guaranteed, yes, Sue?
Pray for Nick.
Yes.
But this
decision that has to be made. Decisions will have to be made by Dick, by Nick at some point. It seems to me that this morning's word just reminds us again of the imperative, not only of coming to faith ourselves, but in leading people to faith that we know, and others too. Because none of us know what tomorrow holds, do we? And tomorrow will be too late. So in that spirit, let's pray for Hilary and for her son, Nick. And then after that, you may want to pray along the lines I suggested as well. David, I wonder, could you start this prayer off for me?
Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour. And we come with sadness, having heard the news of Hilary, because we love her and she's been a bright light in so many of our lives. We thank you because she's been so fervent in her service for you and her love for you. And so now as she lays in hospital in this coma, we pray one prayer that is both joyous but hard to pray, that Father, your will shall be done in Hilary's life at this time. Whether it be to bring her through to full health and strength once again, or whether it's time for you to call her home. And so, Father, into your hands we commit this situation, and especially the family and for Nick, who must be in a human state of distress at this moment. And we understand that, and we would stand with him in faith and in love and in your grace. And we pray that you would guide him and the family in any decisions that they have to take with regard to him. If we pray, Father, the staff in the hospital, the nurses and the doctors, wisdom in how to care for her. And most of all, we thank you for the morning service that gives us confidence to entrust her into your grace and your hand for your will to be done, whether it's to heal her or to call her to yourself. In all of this, we know we are praying as Hilary would want, for we know her well, we love her dearly, and we thank you for her. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the privilege of knowing Hilary. I've known her for about 29 years, and I just feel I've lost half of myself. But Lord, I do thank you, Lord, for all the friendship we've had, and all the holidays, and we do, Lord, pray for Nick to make this decision when the doctors go round about 12 o'clock today. We do, Lord, lift the situation up to you, and we pray for Nick to make the right decision. It's really hard work. But just that he knows that we're behind him. I told him that the church would be praying for him. Mm-hmm. And Hilary at this time. And we just thank you, Lord, for the power in all of the situations. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for Hilary. We thank you for her friendship, for the way that she's cared for most of us sitting here in the church over many years. Thank you for her service to you as a deacon. And we thank you that she has a loving family. Mm-hmm. We thank you for Nick and for Karen. And we know if at 12 o'clock some awful decision's got to be made, Lord, we leave that in your hands. We pray that Nick will make the right decision. He loves you too. And having already lost a brother during this year, we just pray for strength for him too. We thank you for her friendship. We pray that you will bless her now as she's lying in that bed. Mm-hmm. And we pray a special blessing on her and on Nick in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, our times are in your hands for each one of us.
Yes.
And we're aware of that, Lord.
Yes.
But we also know, Father, when these times come for family, it's tough.
Yes.
It's hard.
Yes.
But you're also aware of that, Lord. So we just ask, Father, for your strength and your mercy and your grace upon all the family, Lord, at this time. And Father, again, we just say thank you. Thank you for all the blessings she brought on a lot of us.
Yes.
But Lord, it's in your hands. And help us as your children to realise that she's in your very capable hands.
Yes.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
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 Father, we know full well that Hilary
is safe in your hands, and that Hilary has an eternal future. If it was left to us, Lord, we would want her to be healed. But as we've prayed, Lord, we pray thy will be done. And Lord, as we contemplate this, we think about all the people we know who are not yet yours, including some people that we love very much. We think about those people we know around us who have no desire to know about you. We just pray, Lord, that you will use us as your instruments to bring other people into your presence and have the faith to leave the rest in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I'm sorry to have to bear that bad news to you, but thank you very much for your prayers. Thank you. And the final song this morning says, "Come, people of the risen King," and that's what we are, people of the risen King. And so is Hilary. So let's see if we can sing that in a meaningful way in order to close our service together. Thank you.
from those whose joy is born itself, and those weeping through the night, from those who tell of battles won, and those struggling in the fight. For His perfect love will never change, and His mercies never cease. But
close by saying the grace to one another. We'll hold hands if you feel comfortable with that. We're holding a virtual hand to you, Karen. And now,
may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
love of God, and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. God bless you all.